Howdy, brethren. How many glad to be here tonight? So good to see you. Thank God for His presence tonight. I appreciate the singing of the choir. Our Lord's precious. He's alive, amen or not. I want to thank in a special way Brother Steve and Sister Cindy for taking us out for a wonderful meal tonight. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Appreciate it so much. It's been our joy to be here this week. I'm unworthy but grateful that we can be here. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John. Chapter 19. The only thing I hate about Brother Brad's folks coming is that he sings too. Beats everything I've ever heard. I get so jealous of preachers that can sing. And I've been saved maybe 62 years and I can't sing a lick. And I get so envious of them. I believe when we get to heaven, the Lord's going to tune up my vocal cords and say, sing to all of heaven. But I am glad for those that do sing and are a blessing. Would you stand with me, please, for just another word of prayer? And we're going to be reading the Word of God tonight. Father, I'm so grateful for the choir. I'm so grateful for your people that are here. So grateful for the altar of prayer that we had. Just telling you how precious you are to us. We can never tell how much. We can never explain. We just don't have adjectives. We don't have words to say. But we thank you that, Lord, you are precious. And I pray that you would fill me with thy spirit tonight. Help me to be anointed and touched with thy power. Help us now, Lord, to explain the gospel. May Christ be lifted up. May somebody be saved. May our hearts be stirred. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Verse 38, please, down through the end of the chapter. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. And he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh, aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it, notice that, in linen cloths with spices as the manner of Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to bring a message this evening on an unusual subject. The grave clothes of our Lord. Four times in the gospel, we find our Lord taking off certain garments. John chapter 13, he laid aside his outward garment to wash the disciples' feet. That was for service. Before Herod and Pilate, they stripped him to the waist and beat him. There was suffering. At the cross, He was stripped. That was for sacrifice. And then at the tomb, we find the grave clothes, that's sovereignty. He's not there, he's alive. Isn't that wonderful? One of the men that buried Jesus was Joseph of Arimathea. He had been a disciple, secretly. Now, before you jump on him, he is standing up for God now, amen or not. Remember, all the other disciples have disappeared. But here is Joseph of Arimathea. Forgive me of speaking a word of Portuguese to you. I don't mean to do that every now and then. It just pops in. Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible says in Luke 23 and verse 50, you need not turn, that he was a counselor, a good man, and just. He seems to be a politician. He can't stand it anymore. He has seen them brutalize, crucify, humiliate our Savior. So he boldly goes in and asks for the body of our Lord. Mark says that he went in boldly. He took the body of Jesus from the cross. Notice this, vile hands mistreated him and touched him and brutalized him. They lacerated his back. They hit him in the face. They plucked out his beard. But after his death, never again a wicked hand was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The second man that came with Joseph was Nicodemus, verse 39 there. Three times he's mentioned in the Bible. John chapter 3, where he came to Jesus by night, and I'm not sure, but I believe he got saved there. John chapter 7, he defended Jesus before the Pharisees. And here, he comes to openly confess Christ and ask for the body of his Lord. What a great Savior we have. When the two men touched the dead body, they knew that they would not be allowed to participate in the Passover. That was forbidden. But what difference did that make? They had the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. They had everything already ready. The grave, the spices, everything was ready. There were three prophecies that were fulfilled here. In the Old Testament, Psalms 34:20, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. John tells us in chapter 19, where I'm reading, verse 32 and 33 and 36, that not a bone of his body was broken, fulfilling the prophecy of the psalmist. Another prophecy was Zechariah 12 and verse 10, where it says, they shall see him that they pierced. And here a soldier picked up a spear and pierced the side of our Lord, already crucified. And then the burial. Isaiah 53:9 said that he would be buried with the rich. The Roman custom was to put all of crucified victims in a common, humble place. But here, two disciples come to and beg for the body, that they might bury him in a rich tomb, one that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. Now, secondly, are you with me out there? I want you to see the description of the grave clothes. In verse 40, it says they were linen cloths. Literally, they were strips of bandages, wrappings. Mark 15, verse 46 said there was fine linen. Matthew 27, verse 59 said it was clean linen cloth. Verse 40 says, with spices as the manner was. Now notice this. They took 100 pounds of spices. Mary anointed the feet of Jesus with 1 pound. And Jesus said that was worth 300 pence, a year's salary. Imagine 100 pounds. Spices. You see, they would smear those spices on the body, on the fingers, on the legs, on the whole arm, and they would literally and diligently wrap them up. They would be cased. It would have been impossible to have taken those grave clothes off without ripping them to pieces. Do you remember Lazarus? Do you remember how he came out of the grave? And he said, Jesus said, loose him. He couldn't loose himself. They had to loose him. And of course, he was not anointed with 100 pounds of spices. Those perfumes and spices of aloes lasted for several days. That showed me that probably Lazarus had not been anointed with very much. Mary used most of what she had on the feet of Jesus. But our Lord came out of those grave clothes. Then he says he was buried. You know, the grave is a special place to many of us. How many of you have a loved one that is buried somewhere? Sure, I do. My wife does. We love our loved one. We know they're not there, but we visit that graveyard every now and then. I remember Mays Jackson saying when he died, he wanted to be buried at Walmart. Then he knew that his wife would come and visit him. That sounds about like Mays, doesn't it? Amen or not, brethren? Now here our Lord was buried in a new sepulcher. He must have the best now. Nothing that sin had tainted will do. From the new tomb would come forth the new message that would defeat an old enemy, Satan, that he was alive. It was a borrowed tomb. My wife and I have a plot already paid for. Imagine that. I hope we never use it. I hope we'll get raptured. Amen or not. Our Lord didn't have that. He had to depend on others. He ate at the table of others. He slept on the boat of others. He was buried in the tomb of someone else. But thank God the tomb became empty. It says in Matthew 28:6, come see the place where the Lord lay. I like that past tense. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Not where he was laying, but where he lay. He was there, but he broke the shackles of death and came out of the prison of the grave. The empty tomb means that you and I have a living Savior today. The empty tomb. And by the way, thank you, Brother Brad, for singing that song tonight about the resurrection. Thank you, Brother Ralph. I don't know where Brother Ralph is for singing Sunday morning. That's when I got a nudge from the Lord to bring this message. The empty tomb proves that we have a Savior that's at the right hand of the Father. Amen or not, brethren? The empty tomb means He's coming again. Our Lord emerged from a virgin womb and came out of a virgin tomb. Hallelujah. And will reign again one of these days. Now, look at another thing here. The discovery of the grave clothes. Look in chapter 20. Mary Magdalene had come early to the grave. The stone had been rolled away. So she immediately ran and told Peter and John. Well, they start running. Peter, like me being heavier, was behind. John, light-footed and young, got there first. Now, look at verse 5. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. This is John. He came first. He dare not go in. It carried he could die for that. He peeks in, and he sees the bright grave clothing lying. Peter comes. Peter just didn't much care. Look at verse 6. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen cloths lie. Peter went in, looked down, saw the linen cloths, didn't understand it. But now John, hallelujah for this. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. And the napkin that was about his head, lying with a linen cloth, but wrapped together in his place. Then went also the other disciple, this is John, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw, and what? He believed. He saw the grave clothes. Peter didn't know, but John said, hallelujah, I believe, I know what's happened. He's alive. He came out of those grave clothes. Aren't you glad of that? Amen or not, brethren? What convinced John? Those grave clothes. Now, folks, they were empty. They lay like an empty cocoon. Hey, those spices was like a cement that would cement to shut out the air from corrupting the body. And they would do everything they could to shut out the air. And so they wrapped him like that. John went in and saw those grave clothes not ripped to pieces, but just like an empty cocoon, still retaining the shape of the Lord Jesus Christ, but nobody inside. The only way, are you listening to me? The only way that could have happened was for our Lord to go right through those clothes like he did closed doors without opening them. Amen or not? Now that's the only way. Without disturbing a thread, you could have seen those clothes with the form of the body, but nobody inside. It's only one way that could have happened. Well, the guard said someone stole his body. Who would take the time to rip off grave clothes to steal a body? Who would do such a thing? I like what Acts 1:3 says. He showed himself alive. How else could he show himself? He's alive. The only way he could show himself was alive. Two men went into a taxidermist shop. One began to criticize one of the displays. He said, "Look at that parrot on that stand. That's an imitation. No parrot stands like that." Just then the parrot spoke up and said, "Oh, is that so?" And all the criticism fell to the ground. The fact that our Lord was alive killed all the criticism. And it does today. Amen or not? And it does today. I like what Revelation 2 and verse 8 says. "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." Don't you like that? Had it been Mohammed, he'd have to say, "I am he that was alive and is dead." Had it been Buddha, he would have to say, "I am he that was alive and is dead." But because it's the Lord Jesus Christ, he can say, "I am he that was dead," hallelujah, "and is alive forevermore." Now look, thirdly, at the declaration of the grave clothes. What do they declare to us? First of all, they declare the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, he was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection. You and I are going to be raised by his power. Amen or not? But he could raise himself. Secondly, those grave clothes declared that our sins have been paid for. Aren't you glad of that? Had Jesus not paid in full the penalty of our sins, he could have never raised from the dead. John saw that and he believed. The deepest question of man is not, are we satisfied, but is God satisfied? And God looked down at the cross, and God was satisfied and raised his Son from the cross or from the grave. Amen or not, brethren? The empty cross and the empty tomb are God's receipts that we're saved by the grace of God. The debt's been paid. Hallelujah. Don't try to pay a debt that's already been paid. It's paid for. An eccentric evangelist named Alexander Wooten told a young man, when the young man asked, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, "Son, you're too late." He said, "Am I too late to be saved?" He said, "No, you're too late to do anything. It's already been done." It's already been done! Thirdly, what did those grave clothes declare? It declared that God was satisfied. Look with me at verse 7 of chapter 20 again. "And the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself." Notice that napkin. Imagine that the body is here. Normally, the napkin would be placed there and would be there. But they found the napkin not there, but folded up, laid down in a separate place. Are you listening to me? What does that tell us? Two things. That napkin over his face was somewhat like the napkin that I put on my lap to eat tonight. When a man got through eating, if he took the napkin in those days and folded it up like that and put it beside his plate, it meant that he was not satisfied with the meal. But if he neatly folded it and laid it down, he was saying, "I'm satisfied." Are you listening to me? Do you know what God did when he raised his son? He took the napkin and he folded it up and put it in a separate place. And John saw it and said, "God is satisfied with what his son has done." There's another reason a man would fold his napkin. Sometimes, if he was completely through, he would wrinkle his napkin, put it under his plate. But other times he would fold it up neatly, place it beside his plate. That not only meant he was satisfied, but that meant he was coming back. Don't throw it away. He's coming back. Hey, are you listening to me tonight? Our Lord, hallelujah, is coming back again. Those grave clothes declare that we're also going to go through our grave clothes if we have to put them on. I hope we'll be raptured before that. Amen or not, brother? The grave clothes are a prophecy of what's going to happen to you and me. You see, the grave is only a waiting room for the body. The soul goes to be with the Lord the minute it dies. The body is placed in a tomb, a waiting place. Should Jesus delay his coming and I die, my wife will have my funeral. I hope they will shout all over the place. I hope. Now, I don't want her shouting. "Mama, I want to see you crying like you've never cried." I want to see you weep. I mean, weep. But I hope the rest of the church will jump up, click their heels, and shout it out. Amen or not? But we're going to die if the rapture doesn't take place. The light of the resurrection falls in all of its beauty upon the graves of your loved ones and mine. The light falls upon those graves. My dad, my in-laws, hallelujah. They're going to rise, amen or not. One man asked Talleyrand one time, a renowned French statesman. He told him he wanted to start a new religion. He asked, how could you get it kicked off so that it would have acceptance? Talleyrand looked at him. He said, you might try dying on a cross and rising the third day. Amen. That'll do the job. Robert W. Dale, a British preacher, was praying one Easter morning. He was going to bring the Easter message. He believed firmly in the resurrection, but all of a sudden it dawned on his heart that God is alive. Dr. Dale started walking and crying and saying, you're alive. You're alive. You're alive. You're alive. Hallelujah. You're alive. You're alive. You're alive. And he went to the pulpit that morning and preached a Christ resurrected and coming again. And until he died, every Lord's Day had something to say about the resurrection. He's coming. Hallelujah. The values of Christ's victory survived the centuries. The resurrection of Christ is the most colossal of all conquests. It's the most venerable of all victories. It's the most tremendous triumph. The resurrection of Jesus is midnight turned into noonday sun. Its gloom turned into glory. Its sadness turned into joy and peace. Aren't you glad he's alive? Amen. Brother Ralph, thank you for singing that song. Thank you, choir, for singing about the resurrection tonight. He's alive. Shall we bow our heads in prayer, please? Every head bowed. Our Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts. We thank you. We thank you for all the grave clothes teach us. There's many other verses that we could have read showing exactly what those grave clothes teach. But thank you that those disciples, John especially, saw and believed. When he saw those grave clothes, he believed. Help us to leave here filled with faith. Longing for your coming, thirsting for you to come back. Save that soul that may be here tonight lost. Give us victory for Jesus' sake.